Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
Our assignment today is found in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 25 in the New Living Translation. I'm sure you probably know that. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. And I am going to read down to verse 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Listen to the word of the Lord. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Verse 31 says, I'm sorry.
He was It's Kiara Sheard here.
Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Look at verse 30 once again, if you will, please. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? I want to talk for a few moments with this thought in your mind. Don't worry, have faith. Don't worry, have faith. It's a simple thought that I hope that we grab on this morning. Last week in the presentation, one of the principles that stuck out with me was the fact that we have to know that our God cares about us. When the disciples were on the ship in Mark chapter 4, the question that aroused Jesus from his nocturnal rest was that of, Master, do you care that we perish? Jesus responded to the question of his care for them. And that is about, that's the prevailing thought that I kind of want to attach this week's presentation to. The fact that God cares about us. As a matter of fact, our faith is supposed to be built in the understanding that regardless of what we go through in our lives, our God cares about us. He does care about us. And it is our faith, our confidence in him that we are to live by. That faith, the faith that God is who he said he is, that he can do what he says he will do, and that he will be an ever-present help for us. If we live with that faith, then we will not have to worry. As a matter of fact, I am learning more and more every day that for a lot of us, it's not just the chaotic catastrophes of our lives that sometimes expose our lack of faith. It's not always the storms that show that we don't have faith at the level that we should. Rather, sometimes it's the everyday minutia that bogs us down. The basic necessities of life, food, clothing, and shelter, as well as other things that are common to your natural existence, sometimes find themselves at the top spot of our list. They cause us the most grief. It is those things Not just the storms. There. Yes, it's almost understandable that the storms cause for us to have some internal angst. But sometimes it ain't the storms that come. It's the day-to-day motion of living life that racks our brains. And unfortunately, to many people, their response is to worry. Yeah, as a matter of fact, anxiety researchers define worry as a sequence of repetitive thoughts and mental images focused on threatening issues that have uncertain but possibly negative outcomes. To put it another way, worry is like talking to yourself about something that makes you anxious and often imagining all of the ways it can go wrong. Let me run that by you again, that one of the things that we have chosen to do with even the most basic elements of our lives is worry. And when we worry, it's the conversation that we have with ourselves about something that we are afraid of, about something that makes us anxious, about something that we may not know how we within our own selves or within our own power are going to handle it. And it is that we then begin to imagine all the ways that it can go wrong. But that's not the choice that God gives us or wants for us to make. As a matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, we are encouraged to not worry or to not be anxious about anything. I believe God's intention in this is to affirm the power that you and I have to choose to worry or not worry. Let me bring it back to you one more time, and this is something that you may need to hold on to. Worry is a choice. I'm going to say it for the people in the back, the digital back. Worry is a choice. Worry is, for some, the option that many assume by default. In my opinion, I believe a lot of us have been trained in this way. Anxiety, you do know, is a sin. And like any other, when we become aware, we must choose to rid our lives of this element from our lives, rid this element up from our lives and follow God's way instead. Let me back it up, because I think that you may have missed what I said to you. I said to you that worry is a sin. The very fact, according to Philippians 4 and 6, that the Lord tells us not to worry tells us that we have a choice in whether or not we worry. Like all sin, it's a choice. You either choose to do it, or once made aware, you choose to continue in it. And when you choose to do it or choose to continue in it, you have deliberately decided that this is the route you want to go. And even when you know it goes against what God's desire is for you, He's offered you a different way. Many of us choose to worry. Gavin DeBecker, author of the book, The Gift of Fear, calls worry, are you ready for this, a form of self-harassment. Oh my God. It actually, worry now, this self-harassment provides for us something we choose to not get from God. It's because worry in some way serves us. Dr. Becker goes on to say, worry makes us feel powerful because at least when we worry and make sure other people know we are worrying, we feel like we are doing something. How counterproductive is that? That when we worry, when we stress ourselves, particularly in areas where we have no control or over things that seem out of our grip, it's important to us first that other people know we're worrying, because that then makes us feel like we are doing something. I hope this blesses you today. I really do, because I'm halfway through the presentation. Watch this now, if you will. Last week in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is aroused out of his sleep and he says to them, "Why do you have no faith?" Well, in verse 30, the group has been elevated a bit. They're not absent completely of faith, but look at the question at the end of verse 30. "Why do you have so little faith?" Okay, so let me go ahead, because at least now we're working with a little bit. We're working with something, okay? So we thank God for the progress. But I want you to catch something in this, that when we worry, it's at the base level that we are operating in our faith. That sometimes our faith or our worry is the exposure of, or the exhibition of, the little faith that we have. Unfortunately, little faith is not where God desires for us to be. No, God desires for our faith to grow. As a matter of fact, because they were so concerned, they were so worried, he tells them, or he asks them, why do you have so little faith? Let me see if we can pull out a couple of things in this text and show you what little faith does to you. Not for you, but what it does to you. Little faith shows, number one, that you distrust that God can take care of you. Oh my God, this is not going to feel good. I know, and trust me, I've already taken my beating, because as a base, my suggestion is we've spent too much time worrying over the most basic things, and we're not stuck in the storms all the time. We're stuck on Monday. Trapped on Tuesday. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? Like we're worrying, putting time and pressure on ourselves, self-harassing our own selves over things that are basic. Things that are basic. Okay, let me move. I don't want to stay here too long. Watch this. It shows that we distrust that God can take care of us. Please understand something, that God, who is able, look at the text, who is able to take care of the birds in verse 25, in verse 26, he's able to take care of the flowers in the field in verse 28. Listen, if he can take care of those objects, those animals, you gotta see yourself as more valuable to God than that, and trust that God's care for them pales in comparison to his care for you. Let me run that back for you one more time, because when you have little faith, you are just showing that you distrust that God can take care of you, that the God who is able to provide for birds in such a way that they awake every morning with absolutely no care can't take care of you. You're saying that the God who can take care of these palm trees, who've got no worry at all, can't take care of you. How is it that God can provide for every fish in the sea, for every bird in the sky, for every animal on the earth, and he tells you that you are more valuable than they are to him? He made you in his image, but you don't believe that God can take care of you. When you have little faith, it shows that you do not believe that God has the ability or the desire to take care of you. Because honestly, it's the attack that you put on God. It's the allegation that you put on God when you worry, that either God does not care or either God is not able. Now, I don't know which one it is for you. You pick, you decide. But when you display little faith, you are saying that God cannot take care of you. That's not where it stops. As a matter of fact, it goes a little further than that. It doesn't just show your distrust that God can take care of you. It also shows that you think your worry is more sufficient than God's care. Look at verse 27. He asks the question, for all of the worrying that you are doing, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Oh, what a question. When we worry, here's what he's saying. When we worry, we begin to see ourselves as the total source of our own success. But all of our worry can't add one thing to our lives, not even 1 minute. Like, you can't, for all of your worry, add one breath to your life. For all of your worry, you won't add one hair to your head. For all of your worry, you won't add one inch to your height. And yet, we believe that we are the total source of our success. That's why we worry. We worry because we think that this method of handling life is more sufficient than God's actual care for us. the literal meaning of the word worry in the Greek, it means to be drawn in different directions. Oh, this blessed me. Okay, so wait, let me get right in my chair. Okay, it means to be drawn in different directions. When you worry, when you are anxious, you are drawn in different directions. It's almost what the lion in the circus has to deal with. Anybody ever wondered how a lion can be tamed by a man? I mean, think about it for a moment. The sheer power that the lion knows it possesses gets tamed by a man with a stick, a whip, or a stool. The lion, whose primary weapon is his roar, because the roar of a lion paralyzes its prey and then he can pounce. Because the roar of the lion causes the prey to worry, and because they are drawn in different directions, they are paralyzed. Did you hear what I just said? You are paralyzed when you worry. You are drawn in different directions. But now the lion is tamed in the same way he terrorizes others. Okay, so the lion tamer comes into the cage with the lion. Sometimes multiple lions, and here's the trip. The lion tamer would take a stool and would hold the stool up in one hand and have the whip in the other hand. All right, the stool in one hand and the whip in the other hand. And then sometimes they'll just have one stick in one hand and one stick of the whip in the other hand. And here's what happens when the lion sees the lion tamer. He looks at both hands, and because he doesn't know which to attack first, he worries and is paralyzed. Ain't nobody hearing what I'm saying. Now he can be controlled. I think maybe you're getting it now. Now he can be told to jump through the hoop. Now he can be told to push the ball. Now he can be told to hold his mouth open, because as long as he is focused on the problems, and as long as he worries, he is paralyzed. And some of us are just like the lion in the cage. We've allowed the enemy to come in and present things to us, and they come so fast, they come so furious, that we in our worry get paralyzed and we don't know what direction to go in. And when we don't know what direction to go in, we end up doing absolutely nothing at all. And when we worry, we suggest that our worry is more sufficient than God's grace. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Okay, let me give you this third point and then I'll leave you alone. I'm done. It's Sunday and it's a beautiful day outside. Can't you see that? Watch this. When we have little faith, it shows that we distrust that God can take care of us. Number two, it shows us that we think our worry is more sufficient than God's care. But then number three, it shows us that our priorities are out of order. You'll read this when you have a chance a little bit later. Sit with a cup of coffee and run through it one more time, and I promise you'll see so much more that will bless you. But verse 33 is where we will take our exit. It says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He, God, will give you everything you need." When we worry, little faith is expressed, and little faith shows us that our priorities are out of order. Now, I don't want you to miss this, because quite honestly, what the suggestion of this text is that when it comes to the things that we need in our lives, even the most basic of those needs, we are not supposed to worry about it. We're supposed to go after God. And when we go after God first, He takes care of the basic needs of our lives. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? You and I are not supposed to be spending as much time as we do paralyzed in trying to provide for ourselves. No, what we're supposed to be doing is seeking God's right way first. And when we seek God's right way, his kingdom, his domain, we then release ourselves to focus on him, and he focuses on us. And because this God can provide for palm trees and birds and flowers in the field, we know that if we are focused on him, he will focus on us. The reason why I don't have to put my mind on my stuff is because when my mind is on God, his mind is on my stuff. And I don't know about anybody else, but God's mind is better. His thoughts are higher about me than sometimes my thoughts are for myself. So when I seek him, I get his supply. That's what he's suggesting to us. I got to seek him and I get his supply. And when I'm worrying, I'm saying that he's not first. It says that my problem is. When I'm worrying, it says that what I got going on is number one. When I am worrying, it says that my trying to figure out how I'm going to pay for groceries is more important. When I'm worrying, it's suggesting that how I'm going to dress or what I'm going to wear to work tomorrow is the top priority. When I am worrying, I am paralyzed with the predicament of how am I going to make my needs, and yet I'm showing that that's the wrong priority. This is how I know I have little faith, because I've chosen to elevate my day-to-day life above my pursuit of God. And there are only two things that honestly you could be when you do that. Okay? And here, I promise you, I put the blinker on, I'm getting off the on ramp. I'm getting off the off ramp. Watch this. Two things you can be when you put God out of his top spot and you put the thing you're worried about in the top spot. Number one, you show that you're an animal. David Guzak, he makes this comment on this particular verse. The worry that Jesus is speaking about debases man to the level of an animal who is merely concerned with physical needs. When you are concerned more about physical needs than you are seeking after God, you're suggesting that you are as low as an animal, because you've debased yourself to only being concerned with physical matters and not spiritual matters. Let me remind you the question that Jesus asked them in verse, oh my God, verse 26, verse 25, the latter part. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? You're far more valuable than that. Your life is bigger to God than just the stuff you eat, the clothes you wear, the house you live in, and the car you drive. Oh, please, let me help you. The stuff we are fretting over, the stuff we are worried about, God ain't thinking about them, because those things are default provisions for him. And if you're paralyzed over what's a default provision for God, you displaced him from the top spot. You're no different than the dog you got sitting in your lap right now. You're no different, because all he is concerned about is the basic need. And so you're either an animal, and I don't know which is better, but there's a second option. You're just pure outright an unbeliever. It's in the text. I'm not making this up. Watch the text. The text says in verse 32, let me read verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of who? Unbelievers. Oh my God. He says to us that if your mind paralyzed, if your life is paralyzed with the thoughts of how you're going to live, how you're going to make it from one day to the next, then you must be an unbeliever, because those are the thoughts that dominate the mind of the unbeliever. It dominates the mind of the person who does not have God in the top spot. And so you got to pick now, because when you choose to worry, you become one of two things. You're either an animal or an unbeliever. What you can't be is one whose trust is in the Lord, one who knows if I seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, everything that I need is added into the mix, because God is that default provision God. God doesn't want my mind weighted down with worry about the basic stuff. He doesn't want me to have to worry about love. He doesn't want me to have to worry about what shoes am I going to wear. He doesn't want me to have to worry. He doesn't want me to worry about anything that deals with my life sustenance or existence, because he handles that. He gave me life. He says to us, seek after me and I'll take care of everything else. Those basic needs, you ain't supposed to be thinking about that. Why are you worried about your light bill? I mean, there's some things you need to do. You might need to budget better. Yeah, yeah. But you don't need to worry. Oh, ain't nobody talking. Man, here's the reality. You might need to make a payment arrangement, because the balance that you have is a result of inconsistency and bad behavior. And so now you got to have a budget. But what you ain't got to have is worry. God doesn't even want you worrying about who's going to love you. You know why? One, because he loves you. And two, maybe you don't have love right now because you are a terrible person to be in a relationship with. Did we already take up the offering? I really hope we already took up the offering, because ain't nobody going to give today if we ain't already got it. Hear me when I tell you that maybe you need to change your attitude. You do know you don't have to control everything in all of your relationships, right? And maybe if you put God in the top spot, he can show you the areas in your life that you need to adjust, and then somebody will want to be around you. And I ain't talking about romantically alone. I'm talking about the fact that you have paralyzed yourself worrying about who your friend is. Okay, I'm out of here. I said I was gonna take the off ramp. You got to decide which one you are. Are you an animal or are you an unbeliever? Or are you one who says, I will not worry, I'm gonna have faith. I'm going to trust that God's got me. I'm going to trust that when I put him first, he puts my needs first. That I'm number one to God when he is number one to me. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? What I don't have to do is have worry. Because when I worry, I'm an animal or an unbeliever. When I worry, I am paralyzed in myself. When I worry, I see myself as the total source of my own success. When I worry, it shows my priorities are out of order. And what I don't need to be doing is worrying. Can I encourage you today to not worry, but to have faith? Can I encourage you to put God back in the top spot of your life? Can I encourage you to make the choice to trust God? Yes, yes, I'm going to remind you again. It's a choice to trust God. Worry is a choice, but so is having faith. I'm going to take the opportunity to have faith in God. I'm going to put him in the top spot. Shirley, I'm sorry, but sometimes you have to speed up to get off. Okay, you have to speed up to get off the off ramp. That's sometimes how you have to do it. So I only hit the accelerator for purposes of getting off. I'm done. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Let's not worry. You're not an animal. Don't be an unbeliever. Trust God. Make that choice today. That's more important than what shirt you put on anyway. Amen.
You've just received hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety or a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-439-HOPE. You may also write us at P.O. Box 350-414, Jacksonville, Florida 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 1057 Arlington Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr.